Evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Lori, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Abiyaz Karim, and Jaya Kumar. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Lori, and here are your local news headlines. At their last meeting, Council unanimously voted to declare food insecurity an emergency in the Kingston region. Food insecurity is defined as the inadequate or insecure access to food due to financial constraints, categorized from marginal to severe. Dr. Elaine Power, a Queen's University professor, spoke before council, emphasizing that numbers have hit historic highs.
I actually have to go back and look at this every time I do a presentation because I can hardly believe the numbers. These are from 2023, where we have 23% of Canadians across the country, not the territories, living in food insecure households, and that's likely an underestimate. 20 years ago, we had 4 million Canadians who were food insecure, and we're now approaching 9 million. It's probably over 9 million, including over 2 million children. 1 in 4 children in this country living in food insecure households. We have almost 25% of Ontarians, and Kingston Public Health estimates 1 in 3 households in this city are food insecure.
Dr. Power and the motion itself listed various health impacts associated with food insecurity, including higher rates of numerous diseases and chronic health conditions and a higher risk of early death. Dan Irwin, Executive Director of Partners in Mission Food Bank, also shared startling numbers in a presentation before council.
We are not solving food insecurity with a food bank. What we're doing is addressing hunger, and it's a very temporary situation. In 2024, Partners in Mission Food Bank experienced its fourth record year in a row. We distributed 20,355 food hampers, which is 10.2% more than last year, to 9,131 people, including more than 2,800 kids. This equals to 1 in 17. In 2023, that was 1 in 19.
Partners in Mission Food Bank is also currently in the process of moving into a larger space after outgrowing its space of 23 years. Councillor Don Amos asked Irwin about the future of Partners in Mission as demand continues to rise.
How many more times can you sustain a 10% growth?
Excellent question, but you are right. If I was running a real business that was trying to make money, we'd be laughing at the growth we've got, and it is shocking. We can only do what we can with the help of our community. I'm very concerned that at some point we're going to hit a wall, and we're going to be helping so many people that we won't have enough to help. So that's the wall. I don't know. I can't tell you when it's coming. I just know it is.
While the city has made efforts to address the crisis through funding local hunger-fighting organizations and initiatives like the Fines for Food pilot program, councillors expressed that the city has reached their limit. Councillor Brandon Tozo brought forward the advocacy-based motion.
We're doing all we can as a city to address food insecurity, and it's not enough. It's an emergency.
The motion requests action from higher levels of government, ranging from requesting an immediate increase in funding to school food programs and raising social assistance rates, to considering larger solutions like establishing a guaranteed livable basic income. The motion also requests that the provincial and federal governments include the reduction of food insecurity in all appropriate government policies, and that all political parties address food insecurity in their party platforms. Councillor Gregory Ridge summed up the purpose of the motion.
I've had people ask me, what is this going to do? What is declaring an emergency going to do? And I understand those concerns. We've declared emergencies on several things, several very, very important items. But I consider this emergency, declaring this an emergency to all these levels of government, seeking cooperation for all these levels of government. It's like a motion. It's a signal. It's a Hail Mary. It's like when you come home at the end of a long, long day and you sit in bed and you pray to God or the universe or whatever you believe in and say, please, please let tomorrow be better. And that's what people are feeling in this community right now. So I hope people support this motion. Let's do what we can to make tomorrow better.
A copy of the motion has been sent to the Prime Minister, party leaders, and other elected officials, as well as various organizations, including the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. In a message directly from the City of Kingston, share your knowledge of local history at Heritage Hour. Share your expertise and deepen the community's understanding of the city's diverse heritage by applying to speak at Heritage Hour. The City of Kingston is seeking knowledgeable speakers with unique insights into Kingston's many histories, cultures, and traditions for the quarterly speaker series. Melanie Banks, Manager of Heritage Programming, states, quote, "We're excited to expand Heritage Hour speaking opportunities through an open application to include even more community voices. The previous speakers have showcased many facets of Kingston's history, and we look forward to creating space for more stories to be shared," end quote. Selected speakers will have 1 hour to present to an engaged audience on topics that highlight Kingston's physical and living heritage. Speakers are invited to share information in a variety of formats, including lectures, workshops, and interactive presentations. Since 2023, Heritage Hour has featured speakers from across the community to speak about Kingston's diverse heritage resources. A playlist of previous Heritage Hour events can be found on the City of Kingston YouTube channel. You can view the application and program details on Get Involved Kingston. In another message from the City of Kingston, connect the past to the future. Join the city's Arts, Culture, and Heritage Advisory Committee. From art to artifacts, help us tell our community's story. Apply to join the City of Kingston's newly created Arts, Culture, and Heritage Advisory Committee. Up to 8 members of the public, including one youth representative aged 15 to 24, will help guide the city's arts, culture, and heritage strategies, policies, and programs, providing information and advice to city staff and council. The committee will meet up to 6 times a year. This group will also serve as the advisory committee for the city's museums, providing suggestions and feedback about cultural heritage programs and exhibits at the 2 city-owned museums, Kingston City Hall National Historic Site and the Market Wing Cultural Space. Additionally, the committee will help guide the maintenance and development of the Civic Artifact Collection. This is an ideal opportunity for people with experience in arts and culture, artistic organizations, local history and heritage, museums, and heritage preservation and cultural tourism. Applicants must be residents or business owners in Kingston, and Canadian citizens or permanent residents who have lived in Kingston for at least 1 year. Learn more about the committee's mandate and apply online at cityofkingston.ca/committees from January 13th to 31st, 2024. Those who wish to apply in person can also do so at City Hall. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jaya and Abiyaz with Campus Corner, the latest in Queen's campus news.
Thank you. In campus news, a reminder that the AMS elections and referenda are just around the corner. The nomination period for the AMS executive election, the rector election, and referendum groups seeking new, continuing, or increased student fees will run from January 13th to January 16th. Don't forget, the ratification assembly is scheduled for January 20th at 6 p.m. For more information on the campaign period, visit the AMS website. The Queen's Departmental Student Councils are also preparing for their upcoming elections. Students interested in running for Departmental Student Council co-president are invited to attend an informational session on Wednesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m. in the Kingston Hall Reflection Room. The session will provide details about the election process and the roles of Departmental Student Councils on campus. In other Departmental Student Council news, the Queen's University History Departmental Student Council is also preparing for their Resistance and Regrowth Conference on January 16th. This event will bring together undergraduates in the Humanities and Social Sciences for an evening of learning and collaboration. Tickets are $12 and can be purchased now via the History Departmental Student Council Instagram page. In other campus news, the Queen's New Generation Annual Conference will take place on January 25th and 26th at the Biosciences Complex. This event explores neuroscience, offering workshops, discussions, and networking opportunities. This year's theme is psychoneuroimmunology, and participants can compete in a case competition with top abstracts being published. Tickets can be purchased now via the New Generation Instagram page. The Queen's Center for International Defense and Policy will be hosting guest speaker Nicole Gillis for the partner event Out of the Shadows to Shine a Light, National Security in 2025 and Beyond. Co-presidented by the Institute of Intergovernmental Relations, the Queen's Center for International Defense and Policy, the Department of Political Studies, and the Queen's International Affairs Association, this event will run at 12 p.m. on January 17th. For more information, visit the Queen's Center for International and Defense Policy website. In other campus news, the AMS Social Issues Commission has opened applications for the Black History and Futures Month grant. This initiative supports projects promoting advocacy, celebration, and inclusivity. The application deadline is January 26th. For more details, visit the AMS Social Issues Commission Instagram page. That's a wrap for this segment of Campus Corner. I'm Jaya Kumar from CFRC News.
Hi folks, I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News. For this segment of Campus Corner, I will be interviewing Ms. Surabhi Velagala. She is running for office in the upcoming SGPS election. Let's get straight to the interview then. So Surabhi, tell us about yourself and what position you are running for.
So currently I'm in my first year of the Master's in Epidemiology program here, where I serve as the 2026 cohort student representative for my program and an events planning executive member for the Student Association and the Joy Committee. Currently for SGPS, the current election, I'm running for the VP graduate position.
Wow. So why are you running for office? I mean, what inspired you to run for this position?
The reason that I'm running is because I really want to ensure a better quality of life for our students through many means and various areas of concern, and make sure that they are adequately supported and informed about the reliable resources that we have. And I also want to make sure that we take collective action towards addressing the needs of our graduate student body. And by collective, I mean taking measures which address these goals by not only being adaptable to modify them while taking the student's body's feedback into consideration. And the main reason is that I've seen and experienced firsthand the challenges that are faced by graduate students, especially through my faculty, which arise, for example, from housing and food insecurity and inadequate financial stability, all while they're still balancing their academic and professional successes and responsibilities. And as graduate students, our academic and professional successes, I believe, should not have to come at the cost of our health or be hindered by any of these concerns like food insecurity and housing. So that's one of the reasons that I'm running for office.
Amazing. So if I may ask, what are the key pillars of your platform?
The key pillars of my platform are, I plan to address four things. So I plan to approach the four key pillars of my campaign while addressing the need for better funding and ensuring fair working conditions. And I know that our needs are dynamic and they depend on the situations that we may need to prioritize differently. So I want to do this by being open to communication and feedback from within our student body, but also staff and organizations which are heavily involved with our graduate students. So the first pillar that I want to address is food insecurity and housing. And I aim to advocate for affordable food, food resources and housing initiatives, and increase the access to reliable food programs by collaborating, maintaining good reputable relationships with organizations within and also outside campus. And I know that we have a lot of good programs in place, but I feel that we can still improve them through advocacy, learning from our environment, and also getting feedback and ideas from students. And secondly, my second pillar is, as someone who works in mental health research, I believe that it's crucial to have adequate resources and support just to maintain good mental and overall health. So for a while, I've read that students are not able to make time for themselves due to the academic pressures and professional pressures that they face, and they apparently don't really know about the resources that we provide. So I really want to make an effort to make students more aware of such resources and workshops and increase their access to them. The third pillar that I want to address is to make efforts towards professional development and academic success, so that graduate students can make an efficient transition into the work field or higher studies easier after completing graduate studies. So I aim to do this by enhancing professional development opportunities in various ways, such as like increasing and promoting awareness about scholarships and awards, both internal and external, but also increasing exposure to mentorship and networking opportunities. So through this, I hope that I can make graduate students feel supported and empowered towards their next steps.
Right.
And lastly, I think it's very important to build and maintain strong and meaningful connections with people and build a good community. And as a first-generation immigrant who has the privilege of studying in this diverse and inclusive country, I am committed to promoting and celebrating the diversity of all graduate students, no matter the background, no matter the abilities. And by supporting our existing organizations, such as the QUSC and like other student organizations that we have on campus, while also collaborating with off-campus initiatives, I feel that we can strengthen bonds and we can be a little more culturally sensitive to our peers, allowing us to see things from different lenses.
Awesome. So that brings me to my last question. How can people learn more about you and Volt?
LinkedIn, which just uses my name, Sarabi Valagala, and my Instagram, SVELA2001, are my main social media and campaigning platforms. So you can read all about my experiences and my campaign a lot more in depth on those platforms. But I also really enjoy communicating with people. So anyone can reach me by email, which can be found on the Elections Candidate Information website on SGPS. Or if you just see me on campus, don't be afraid to say hi and chat. I'm more than happy to answer any kind of questions throughout my campaign. If my campaign resonates with you, to show your support by voting for me during the voting period that goes from January 29th to the 30th, where all SGPS members will receive ballots through Simply Voting.
Thank you, Ms. Surabhi, for your time and best of luck for your campaign. That's a wrap for this segment of Campus Corner. We were in conversation with Ms. Surabhi Velagala, who is running for VP graduate in the upcoming SGPS election. I'm Abhyas from CFRC News. Now over to Isabella for sports after.
Hello, everybody. I'm Isabella Garrido, your CFRC sports reporter, and welcome to the CFRC Sports Desk, bringing you the latest in Queens athletics. Let's dive right in. This weekend, Queens Distance Track had an incredible showing at the University of Ottawa's Winter Classic, bringing home an impressive 11 medals. Standout performances came from Kaylee Prebaz, who secured gold in the 1500 meter and helped the women's relay team earn silver. Jude Wheeler-D, who not only took gold in the men's 3000 meter, but also set a new school record with a time of 8 minutes and 3 seconds. On the women's side, Alicia Alkerton dominated the 3000 meter, finishing first with 9 minutes and 42 seconds, with teammates Ella Lane and Olivia Bagley completing the podium for a Queens sweep. The men's 400 relay team also shone, grabbing silver in their event, and the Gales now prepare for the McGill Team Challenge January 24th to the 26th in Montreal. Shifting gears to hockey, it was a tough weekend for Queens men's hockey team in Montreal, with key players Jack Duff, Nolan Hutchinson, and head coach Brett Gibson representing Canada at the FISU Games. The Gales fell short in back-to-back games against McGill and Concordia, despite a strong start. Goalie Christian Perbeau faced challenges, allowing 10 goals over 2 games. The team looks to bounce back in a heated matchup against the RMC Paladins on January 24th at Constantine Arena. Don't miss it, tickets are available, or you can stream it live on OUA.tv. Finally, Queens women's volleyball extended their winning streak to an incredible 11 games after a clean sweep of Guelph this weekend. The Gales were led by Hannah Ducheneau with 15 kills and Mary Stewart with 12. The team's defensive efforts were anchored by Holly Biasai, who picked up 11 digs, and their season record now standing at 13-1. The Gales are set to face the Western Mustangs at home on January 31st in what promises to be a thrilling matchup. Tickets are free for us Gales students, so be sure to grab yours and cheer them on at the Arc. This has been Isabella Garrido with your CFRC Sports Desk. Now back to Christina Laurie with your weather report for this evening.
This is the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, January 20th. We are in the midst of a cold snap. Daytime high of minus 12, a 40% chance of flurries throughout the day, dropping down to a bone-chilling minus 17 overnight. Tuesday, January 21st, we're going to see a daytime high of minus 12. It's going to be a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to minus 18 overnight. Wednesday, January 22nd, high of minus 10 with a 30% chance of flurries throughout the day, dropping down to minus 12 overnight. On Thursday, January 23rd, temperatures increase slightly from the frigid lows of the prior few days. We're going to see a daytime high of minus 6 with a 40% chance of flurries. Moving on to Friday, January 24th, the upward trend for temperature continues. Daytime high of minus 3 with an overnight low of minus 9. Saturday, January 25th, we're going to see a daytime high of -1, so around the zero mark, overnight low of -6. And then Sunday, January 26th, we will see a daytime high of -1 with a 40% chance of flurries. This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report for the week of January 20th, 2025. We begin with some road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Wellington Street, Earl to Gore is closed until January 23rd to accommodate service tie-ins. Here are some other delays you should be aware of. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles and Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with events, coming up on Monday, join the Kingston Climate Change Symposium at the Kingston Grand Theatre, featuring keynote speaker Autumn Peltier. Tickets are available online for $10. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch is also hosting a free craft and makerspace session from 6 to 7 p.m. Also on Monday, both One Eye Jacks and The Brass will host their weekly trivia nights starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, the Screening Room will be hosting a filmmakers open mic where local filmmakers can connect with their peers and share their work. The event starts at 6 p.m. and admission is free. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Tuesday, the Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch and Yarn GK will be hosting a free crochet and knit circle from 5:30 to 7:30. Also on Tuesday, there will be a public city council meeting at Kingston City Hall starting at 7. Daft Brewing is also hosting a euchre night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, Queen's Musical Theatre will continue their sold-out run of A Sunday in the Park with George, which opened on the 15th at the Tet Center. Doors open at 7 p.m. Performances will continue every day for the rest of the week. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library, Kelvin Park Branch, and L'Association Canadienne Française de l'Ontario will be hosting Café Franglish starting at 6 p.m., providing a friendly space to practice both your English and French language skills. Also on Wednesday, Musiki will be hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing and making new friends. Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will be hosting their trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, the Grad Club is running its free weekly trivia night starting at 8 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Daft Brewing will also be hosting Queerioke starting at 8 p.m. There is a $5 cover at the door. On Thursday, Domino Theatre will be continuing their run of The Road to Mecca. Doors open at 7:30 and tickets are available online for $20. Additional performances will occur on the 24th, 25th, and into next week. On Friday, Queen's Career Services will be hosting a workshop focused on equipping participants with essential skills to connect with employers and effectively communicate during networking conversations. The event starts at 11 a.m. in room 324, Gordon Hall, or online. The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights, doors open at 9. On Saturday, Queen's Swing Dance Club will be running the Zero to Hero Lindy Hop Workshop and Social in St. George Hall from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tickets are available for $30. The Kingston Public Market also runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendar. For concerts, coming up on Monday, the Mourning Dove Jazz and Funk Trio will be playing a free show at Musiki till 11, with doors opening at 7. Folks can also head over to the RCHA to see Myers and Flanagan from 4:30 to 6:30 for some early jazz. There's a $5 cover fee for any non-RCHA member. Also Monday, Quirks of Human Nature, an evening of poetry, music, and storytelling will be taking place at the Royal Tavern 2.0 from 7:30 to 9:30. Tuesday evening, head over to the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. for another great edition of the weekly Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam, a free event. You can also head down to Musiki for their weekly open mic from 7 to 11 p.m., also free. On Wednesday, take a ride on the Wolf Island Ferry and pop by Open Mic Night with Mike Rapkins at Hotel Wolf Island, a free event starting at 7 p.m. Ale House has three groups for Wednesday night: Carnelian, Chlorine, and Color Theory, booked from 8 to 12. $10 will get you in, with doors opening at 7:30. On Thursday, the Grizzly is featuring Logan Brown's one-person musical comedy act from 8 to 11 p.m. This is a free concert. Hotel Wolf Island is featuring the Brass Over Tea Kettle Brass Band, who will be playing a fusion of pop hits with the sound of the brass bands of New Orleans. This is a free show starting at 8:30 p.m. On Thursday, the RCHA, as part of their Robbie Burns Day celebrations, has both Kingston group Turpin's Trail and the Princess of Wales' own regimental pipe band in for a show starting at 7 p.m., cover charge of $20. On Friday, the band Cabbage will be making their debut performance alongside Brass Over Tea Kettle at the Grad Club. Doors open at 8 p.m. with a $20 cover charge. Toronto-based band The Gettalons will be playing a set at the Toucan, along with the bands Jinx and Color Theory from 9:30 to 1 a.m. On Friday, Tiernan and Odd will be featuring the Kingston Cosmic Folk group Willy Nilly at a free gig from 9 to 12 p.m. For any maritime folk fans, PEI-born Shane Pendergast will be playing from 8:30 to 10 p.m. at a free show at Hotel Wolf Island. And also on Friday, Kingston indie band Cazador will be playing a concert at the Broom Factory at 7. Tickets are available online for $22.60. On Saturday, the group Quartetto Gelato will be performing at the Kingston Grand Theatre. The concert starts at 7:30 p.m. and tickets can be found online ranging between $52 to $27, with discounts available for students and children. The Big Fat Horn Band, alongside special guest Deb Feely, will be returning to the RCHA for a show starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are available online for $30. Also on Saturday, folks can head over to the Broom Factory to catch Piner with special guest Princess Towers, two local emerging artists. Doors open at 7 p.m. On Sunday, Danny DeRue will be performing a mix of rock and country at the Caesar Company from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a free event. And finally, the Montreal group Bedouin Soundclash will be performing a concert at the Broom Factory at 8 p.m. Tickets are available online starting at $30. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.